This week's parsha is Parshas Mishpatim. It's Parshas Shkalim, and it's also Rosh Chodesh Adar. Before I start, I just want to dedicate the learning for the Refuah Shleima of Chaim Baruch Ben Rachel Malka, as well as Rivka Chana Bat Zipora. So I'll have a Refuah Shleima. So this is the last Shabbos of Shovavim, and we talked about the idea of, in this period of time, of Shmos Va'era Bo B'Shalach Yisro Mishpatim, that it's an opportunity, as we read about the Exodus from Egypt, and then the revelation at Har Sinai, Mount Sinai, that it's a time to for introspection and self-improvement. So this being the final week of this period, Mishpatim, as well as Shkalim, this is the first of the 4 weeks where we read a special Haftorah, a special Maftir, in order, really it's a preparation for the month of Adar, of Purim, and then also leading into Pesach, into Passover. So this is the first of the 4 weeks of this week is Shkalim. So we read Mishpatim, and then we read, at the end, we read from Exodus 30, Kitisa. And this is talking about when you take a census. So at that point in time, how do you do the census? You don't count people directly, but rather the Torah instructs us, Zei yitnu kol ha'over ala p'kudim machtzis ha'shekel v'shekel ha'kodesh, esrim gera ha'shekel machtzis ha'shekel truma la'Hashem. That is, what everyone who is entered in the record shall pay, a half shekel by the sanctuary weight, 20 geras to the shekel, a half shekel as an offering to the Lord. And who gives this? Everyone who is entered in the records from the age of 20 years up shall give the Lord's offering. Doesn't matter if you're wealthy, you're poor, you give a half, a machtzis ha-shekel. So what is the significance here of the half shekel? There are a lot of different approaches. How do we look at money? What's the the symbolism of the idea of a shekel? But I wanted to focus on the idea of the half shekel. Here we are. We're coming together. We want to take a census. We want to know what is the state of the Jewish people. And what we use is a machtzis ha-shekel, a half shekel. Why not a full shekel? Why not a quarter? What's the significance of this half shekel? And so I was speaking today to someone at work, and we were talking about a development team, a team that does the development work. And what comes out sometimes is that people are very territorial, but also they're so fixated on their position and their power that they're not able to hear or not able to take criticism or be able to work with others because of fear of not willing to see themselves as not perfect, right? If I don't need any help, I'm good on my own. And the truth is, this message of the Machtzis HaShekel is so powerful because the parsha starts off and says, Kitisa at Rosh Bnei Yisrael. Now, that's the understanding of when you count the heads. But Kitisa is a lashon. It's a word, the language of that expresses this idea of elevating. When you want to elevate the people, when you count them, right? So then the way we do it is with a machtzis ha-shekel. What a person needs to realize, what we all need to realize, is that we're imperfect. We're only a half shekel. We only become whole when we connect with others. And as in this case of, you know, of the workplace, but in all aspects of our lives, the Torah is telling us you want to be part of a greater group, and you want to elevate and grow, because the purpose, the point of us as the people, Jewish people, is that we're on a mission. We're going somewhere, we're growing together. It has to be as a machtzis ha-shekel. How are we counted? How do we count? We count when we're not whole, when we're half. But when we are able to come and be understanding and to see the fact that we're not complete, we're never really whole, then that's how we can become complete and whole and great. The greatness is in the fact that we can have that humility and the ability to see that we're not a full coin. And so as we come to the beginning of this process of Adar, Mishanichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha, when we enter this month of Adar, we're supposed to increase the joy in our lives, not to have joy, but to increase. Marbin Besimcha. I think that this message is very important, because when we recognize the fact that it's okay to be a half shekel, to be a matzis, to be imperfect, that's a very in a sense it's liberating. Sometimes not easy, because it creates vulnerability as well. We have to be open to the vulnerability, but it also can give us the ability to become and to become that much greater. So that's this idea of starting out this journey of these 2 months of Adar and Nisan, the month of Purim and the month of Pesach, of Passover. It's this incredible time of elevation. We start out as a half, because when we recognize that we're not complete, that's when we can become really fulfill our potential of greatness. So I just wanted to end with this idea. In the parsha, there are a lot of different laws in Mishpatim. One of the laws is this idea of damages that one can cause when they start a fire. It says, "Kiteitze eishu matza kotzim enechal gadisho oha kama oha sadeh shalem yishalem hamaver et habeira." When a fire is started and spreads to thorns so that stacked, standing, or growing grain is consumed, he who started the fire must make restitution. So the question is, how do you look at fire? So a person lights a fire in his yard, and then it spreads from his yard into his neighbor's yard, and then causes damage to his neighbor. So you might say, hey, look, I legitimately started a fire with no problems. I'm allowed to start fires in my backyard. It spread. So the lighting of the fire, why should I be held accountable? So we answer, no, that if by starting that fire, you are liable. You are held accountable. The question really is, though, how do we look at it? As we look at it as we have this machloket, we have this discussion, two positions, whether we look at it as the person, the ish, the fire, is the person's property that caused the damage, or do we look at it as if the person shot an arrow? And so in the Gemara in Bava Kamma, it discusses the details as to what that would be in terms of the law. But in the context of discussing this issue of how we look at fire, so the Gemara tells us over a story of Rav Ami and Rav Asi were before their teacher, Rav Yitzchak Nafka, and they were both requesting from Rav Yitzchak Nafka to teach them something. But one wanted to hear the halachic teaching, and one wanted to hear an agadata, more of a teaching that's more philosophical in nature. So every time he would start with one, the other one would interrupt, and vice versa. Finally, he tells them, listen, I'm going to teach you something that's going to cover both. And so he explained like this. He said, Rav Yitzchak Nafka continued and said to them, I will say to you a matter that is appropriate to both of you, which contains both halacha and God and agadah. In the verse that states, if a fire breaks out and catches in thorns, this is the Talmud Baba Kamma 60b, the term breaks out, right? It says, kitete osh, and it says it breaks out, the fire. So indicates that it breaks out by itself, right? It's not that the person caused it, that the fire had a kind of its life of its own. Yet the continuation of the verse states, the one who kindled the fire shall pay compensation, which indicates that he must pay only if the fire spread due to his negligence. The verse can be explained allegorically. The Holy One, blessed be he, said that although the fire broke out in the temple due to the sins of the Jewish people, it is incumbent upon me to pay restitution for the fire that I kindled. So God is saying, so to speak, that he's responsible for the fire that destroyed the temple. So then the Gemara goes on and tells us, I, God, kindle a fire in Zion, as it stated, the Lord has accomplished his fury. He has poured out his fierce anger, and he has kindled a fire in Zion, which has devoured its foundations. But then God says, and I will build it with a fire in the future, as it is stated, for I, says the Lord, will be for her a wall of fire round about, and I will be the glory in her midst. There is halacha that can be learned from the verse in Exodus, as the verse begins with damage caused through one's property, if a fire breaks out, and concludes with damage caused by one's body, the one who kindled the fire. This indicates that when damage is caused by fire, it is considered as though the person who kindled the fire caused the damage directly with his body. That serves to say to you that the liability for his fire damage is due to its similarity to his arrow. Just as one who shoots an arrow and causes damage is liable because the damage was caused directly through his action, so too one who kindles a fire that causes damage is liable because it is considered as though the damage were caused directly by his actions. So the reason I'm bringing this up is that this message of the philosophical idea, the agadata, of the idea that God says that he destroyed Zion with fire. But he also says that in the future, he will rebuild it with fire. And what's the symbolism of this idea of fire? Is that even though it's an indirect, what we're talking about here, we're talking about an indirect, or at least what it looks like an indirect causation of damages. And what Hashem is saying is, even though it appeared that I was very much removed, know that the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, of the Temple of Zion, was done by myself. And so too, I will, in a similar way, I will rebuild, I will come, and I will build it with fire in the future. So if you take it literally, you're going to think that all of a sudden you're going to see fire, and that's going to be the tools of rebuilding Jerusalem and Zion. But the answer is that we see from this passage, and the way the Gemara formulates it, is that what it's saying is, you see this idea that fire has this aspect of starting something that is completely divorced and detached from the one who starts it. And so you might actually even come to think that this is something that is completely independent. But the reality is that that's not the case. And that what Hashem is saying is, understand, my hand was very much present, and I was the one who caused the destruction of the temple. But so too, know, in that way as well, I will be very much involved in its rebuilding. And so I'm bringing this up because we live in a time of darkness and of difficulty, and it's important to realize that as much as we think that Hashem is not present sometimes, this Agadata, this Gemara, this Talmudic piece from Baba Kama is telling us, remember that Hashem is present, was present at the time of destruction, and he's very much present as we begin and as we are involved in the rebuilding of Zion. So just like fire has this type of removed aspect, understand that that's exactly how Hashem operates. And with that, just to kind of bring it all together, as we enter into the special time of Adar and into Pesach time as well, into Nisan, this is a time of redemption, of salvation. And so just like we had salvation and redemption in Nisan, which it goes Adar and then Nisan, so too we'll see incredible miracles in the future in this period of time. It's a very special time. And so we should understand the idea of Machzis HaShekel. We should understand and we should take to heart that we're never whole. We're just half. But when we're together with everybody, we become whole, and we should have that humility to be able to open ourselves, to have the vulnerability to be able to learn from everyone. And so too, we should realize this message of the fire, that this Gemara in Bava Kamma is telling us, that just like fire sometimes looks like it's completely independent, but Hashem says, no, that was me. So too, in the coming salvation, Hashem is so present, and we should be able to, and with this idea of half, open ourselves up and realize that Hashem is so much there, more than ever, and that we need to be strengthened and with that, and then continue forward. Because what we believe in is, as always, the future. The future is bright, and we're going somewhere, and we're becoming something that much greater. Wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos.